Welcome to a Friday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be discussing rest of season projections and rankings for Paul Millsap, Chris Paul, and a few other players with today's co-host, Tyler Watts. Tyler, how's it hanging?
It's good, Mark. How are you?
Not too bad. Excited to talk about some basketball, talk about some rankings.
Always excited about that.
Yeah. Well, before we begin, we got to start off with some Lakers talk.
Oh man,
Lakers Nation at this point?
Well, they officially have the dumbest coach in the NBA. It is official.
I mean, I would have said that last week, but go on.
You bench your two. Probably the two players you're trying to build around most. All right, you put them on the bench.
Russell and Randall, right?
Yeah, and how good of is it a reflection on you as a coach if you basically admit you can't even coach one of your players?
Hold on, I didn't hear about this. What?
He basically admitted, like, I just let Kobe do whatever he wants.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, wait, what?
This is the whole thing. When everybody was like, he's going to limit Kobe's minutes, everybody's in agreement. I was like, he's not Kobe Bryant's coach. He's never been Kobe Bryant's coach. Like, Kobe Bryant coaches himself. He subs himself in and out, and he'll play whatever minutes he wants.
Well, and doesn't that just seem insane though? Like, if you're the coach, aren't you supposed to coach the team?
You would think so.
But yeah. All right. So then he benches his two players he's trying to build around, okay? He puts in the starting lineup Lou Williams
and Larry. The Cavs are really upset about this.
They are. I'm telling you, they're mad. They're as mad as I am about this, all right? All right, so then he puts in Larry Nance, too. Like, I can't even understand this.
Yeah, you would think if you're trying to not – you're trying to play veterans and you're trying not to build around – rookies, you wouldn't put in a rookie that you drafted in the second half of the first round. But you really should take the time to compile a book of Byron Scott's quotes.
Oh my God. Like, wouldn't that be money. The greatest? That would be the greatest read ever. Because you would like I oscillate between like maybe he's like clinically insane, he just doesn't know what he's saying. And maybe he's just like so smart, I don't understand what he's saying.
No, it's definitely not the second one. It can't be that. There's no evidence to back that up. They're floundering. I'm fully convinced he's their secret tanking option.
Oh, I think that anytime they think that they're going to be like any semblance of good, they're just going to fire him. I actually saw a quote on Twitter from Mark Medina, who covers the Lakers. I don't want to say the wrong paper, so I won't. But he had said today that he heard from Mitch Kupchak that they were going to evaluate Byron Scott after the season to see if they were going to keep him. And I was like, if they keep him, what evaluation could they possibly be doing?
Well, that's a good point.
Like, well, he looks good in the chair, and I don't know. Maybe that's it.
I just don't think – I mean, I get the idea of wanting to lose games so that you're sure that you get to keep your pick. But I feel like there's no way that they don't end up with basically like the third or fourth worst record. So is it really worth those extra, 8 or 10% chance of keeping your draft pick to basically stunt D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle and who's their other guard? I'm trying to think of.
Jordan Clarkson?
Yeah, Clarkson. Is it really worth stunting their development for a year in hopes of that extra like 8% chance of Ben Simmons?
Here's the thing though. Like what is he even thinking, okay? Like Russell is a pass first point guard, okay? So I don't really get how him playing with Kobe even hurts him any. Like that's what he was trying to say. Oh well, these guys are going to get the ball more if we put them in the second unit. And I'm like, the dude's a point guard. He should be passing Kobe the ball and letting Kobe score. Like he's not going to try to put up 50 points.
So
right?
Yeah, it's a good point. So what's a successful Lakers season at this point for you?
Firing Byron Scott. Honestly, the most success I just want to see Kobe kind of go out on his feet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see him get hurt again and just be done. Mm. Like, I mean, obviously that may be like the best thing for him, because obviously, like, when they don't have him, they don't win very much. But it's like, I don't know. It's just his last season. You want to see him go out the way he wants to go out and not be being hurt.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about quickly before we get into the fantasy basketball stuff. The Sixers. You're fairly close to the Sixers situation. They had kind of a – I feel like as much – maybe it was just because I was on vacation, but I feel like – I don't know. Did Sam Hinkie get fired? Like, no. I feel like this hasn't been reported well. Like, I know he still is employed by the team, but is he like – I read somewhere that he was basically fired.
This is basically the way I understood it, all right? This is why I wanted to talk about this. Because I wanted to hear if you heard something different, okay? I basically heard that the owner is peed off that it's taken so long for this rebuilding process. And so they basically hired Colangelo to come in and, like, help them make decisions. But basically he has the final say on everything now.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
So basically Hinkie's job is, like, nothing now, I don't think, right? Because, I mean, wasn't that his job before?
Well, I read a couple places. Again, I feel like it's been underreported for as much as everything is overreported in basketball land nowadays. I feel like it was underreported, but I've seen in a couple of places it mentioned that he's basically lost his position in the company. Right. That he's still employed by them and he probably still does some work, but that's a major change. It seems like the NBA... As far as, you know, Commissioner Silver had some say in it. Kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do now.
So here's the thing I heard too, that like is the first big disagreement between Colangelo and Hinkie is, you know how Hinkie like keeps signing all these like minimum salary dudes who like aren't worth a hill of beans. Colangelo, I guess, came in and said like for this team to like ever take a step forward, they need veterans to teach the young players how to play and how to be like NBA players. Mm-hmm. And these two are like already going head to head on this.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, I guess that's like the Minnesota model right now, like Kevin Garnett for Carl Anthony Towns and like the Tayshaun Prince for Andrew Wiggins. And they also had Andre Miller for Zach LaVine. So it'll be interesting to see if Philadelphia goes that way, I guess. It seemed like the breaking point to me for the owner was that Jahlil Okafor had so many like run-ins with the law and he felt like they weren't getting that mentorship. So maybe he's on that side too. I will be kind of disappointed because I don't know. I always felt like kind of a kinship to San Hinkie's plan because that's basically the plan I always took in every video game that I ever played since I was 10 years old. I will be kind of peeved if Jairo Colangelo gets all the credit for all the future draft picks that come up. Like if they end up with two top five picks and get Ben Simmons and this thing turns around pretty quickly, I hope that Sam Hinkie still gets credit for that.
Well, I think he did such a good job of just getting them picks. I mean, I think he's done a good job too of like, okay, like they picked Michael Carter Williams and they didn't think he was going to be like their franchise player. So they traded him for more picks. Like, basically, his system,
They got a Lakers pick for Michael Carter Williams.
That's what I mean. I think it's
ridiculous.
His plan is working. Just, it needs more time to get...
By the way, those salary players, like, that's how they found Robert Covington, who they have under contract for, like, the next 4 years. At a minimum salary.
Well,
that's going to be one of the best deals in the entire league.
Well, that's basically his whole plan, right? Because that's the whole reason they traded McDaniels, wasn't it? Was like he wouldn't accept their offer way cheap money. And so they were like, all right, see you, buddy.
Yeah, that one felt kind of strange, but
it felt kind of cold hearted to me. But
I guess the other thing is they liked Isaiah Cannon. I know that. And for better or worse, they've got him now. So, all right, let's talk some Well, first of all, let me do a little promo read before we get into the fantasy basketball stuff. Today's podcast is sponsored by BetDSI, which is an online sports book focusing on customers and most importantly on ease and speed of payment. BetDSI is one of the most well-respected sports books online today. They have an A+ sportsbook review. They offer a wide range of sports, everything from NBA and NFL to international sports like soccer and rugby. They even offer bets for politics. And Tyler, you and I were looking at the lines before this podcast started, and there were a couple that were intriguing to you, I know. What do you want to share some of those?
All right, so my big play of tomorrow is I got the Wizards over the Pelicans tomorrow. And the Pelicans are favored by 3 points in this game. I feel like the Wizards are just kind of a better team right now. And, I mean, the Pelicans are kind of a mess with that whole, you know, who are they even going to start? I mean, they've been going back and forth on if Gordon and Evans are really the two guards they want to start and if they want to bring Jrue Holiday off the bench, if they want to start them. And I feel like the Wizards are just going to sneak in there and they're going to take that game. So, I mean, if you get the 3 points too, it seems like a good bet to me.
Well, what about your Lakers versus the Spurs? Spurs are a 14.5-point favorite.
I would still take the Spurs in that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Are you influenced by the fact that the Spurs beat the Sixers by 50 points?
Oh, my. That was a game, wasn't it?
Kind of.
I mean, I live close to there. I had the game on for a little bit, and it was so bad at halftime I had to turn it off. It was like there was no point.
No point. So if you want to take Tyler's advice and bet on the, let's see, who are your picks? You picked the Spurs and you picked the Wizards. If you want to bet on either of those, you can go to betdsi.com. And the best part is by using the promo code HOOPS10, that's HOOPS10, you'll get a free $10 to play. And you can make either of those picks that Tyler recommended, or if you want to go against Tyler, you can do that too. And just remember, gambling is a form of entertainment and should be done responsibly. All right, Tyler, enough teasing. Let's get into the fantasy basketball stuff.
All right, let's do it.
You ready? All right. So today we're looking at rest of season rankings for a couple of players that, again, you know, don't come up so often in the day-to-day news, but have made significant moves in our rest of season rankings on the website. These are players that either have gone up, way up in the rankings or way down, and maybe because they haven't been in the news, somebody in your league isn't totally aware of what's going on and you can take advantage of the situation. The first guy I want to talk about is a guy who we were pretty high on in the preseason, but who's moved into the top 12, which means he's now a first-round value, just barely clearing the first-round hurdle in 12-team leagues. And that's our man Paul Millsap. He's having a really solid season so far, Tyler. His per game averages, he's up a minute per game, so he's up to almost 34 minutes per game. Partially because I think he's filling in that void for Damari Carroll, but he's averaging 18 points, 9.6 rebounds, 2.0 steals, 1.2 blocks, almost a 3-pointer per game, 3.6 assists. He's shooting 47% from the field, and he's shooting 78% from the free throw line. Almost all of those are career highs. He's really having an outstanding season at age 30.
I feel like, you know, if you look at the projections too on the site, I mean, even those numbers are down a little bit, like from what the numbers you just read, which is what he's doing this season. So I feel like this guy is so underrated. Like, I mean, this is a guy I have a lot on a lot of my teams because he's not sexy. Like, no one ever wants to pick him, but he gives you great steals. He gives you a block a game. He gives you good assists for a power forward. I feel like this is a guy that if you could go out and snap up, I would do it.
No, totally. I mean, and again, I think the Paul Millsap owner is happy with owning Paul Millsap, but I doubt that they think he's their best player on their team. And he might be their second best player, but I mean, the point still stands. He's one of the 10 or 12 best players in fantasy basketball right now. He's not going to hurt you in any single category. And he's going to, I mean, he's elite at steals. He's very close to elite in points. He's almost getting 10 rebounds a game. He's one of those guys that's going to get over a three, over a block, and over a steal a game, really over two steals per game. So And as you mentioned, the assists are there too. So he's, I mean, he's not going to hurt you anywhere, and he's only going to help you in several categories. So if you can make a trade for him, I think there's only a short list of players that I wouldn't trade for Paul Millsap. I think his role has just changed a little bit on the team more than anything. But, you know, his per possession numbers really aren't out of line. He's scoring a bit more than he ever has, and he's rebounding a bit more than he ever has. But I think it's really just the fact that DeMarre Carroll isn't there. I think he's kind of been the main beneficiary there. So yeah, I'm definitely buying on him. I think he's a first-round value for the rest of the season.
I actually think those minutes might even come up a little bit more. When Tiago Splitter comes back, he plays a little small forward, like two. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now, they're kind of keeping him at the big position because they don't have a great deal of backup bigs. I mean, they got Muscala, but...
Yeah.
So I feel like they shift him over to small forward a little bit more and play Splitter and Horford together. The minutes might even come up a little bit, which sounds kind of crazy, but I think it could happen.
No, certainly possible. Yeah, so I guess we're in agreement there.
Yeah, definitely.
Go get Paul Millsap. I'm curious. Like, I guess I want to see. I don't have the list up right in front of me of the rankings, but I want to see, like, how far would you go in trading for him? So let me pull these up. So we've got him 12th. All right. Ooh. Would you trade him for, if you had Blake Griffin, would you trade him for Paul Millsap?
I would. I'd rather have Paul Millsap for sure.
What about Favors?
I'd rather have Millsap.
What about Draymond Green?
Ooh, now it's getting tight. Draymond Green is killing it with the assists this year.
Yeah. He's another guy. I mean, he's kind of in the same mold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a toss-up. I mean, I think for me, it's the points that probably put Millsap ahead.
I'd have to agree with that. Plus, you get a little bit more steals, a little bit more points.
But Draymond Green at this point is probably the ultimate three steals and blocks guys. Like, he's comfortably over those one in each of those categories. He's comfortably over that threshold.
That's your boy too, right? I mean,
I love Draymond Green.
That's right. You got to go him over Paul Millsap. Come on, that's your boy.
I mean, the blocks are nice. The three-pointers are nice. But I think that one's probably one that depends on who you need. But in a vacuum, I probably go Millsap.
I'm with you on that one.
What about this one? DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, I'm going to have to stick with Cousins on this one. I feel like Cousins is kind of a guy right now who's pretty underrated. I mean, like, he's been playing like garbage, and I feel like this is a guy you might be able to snag from someone.
Yeah. We might as well talk about him. He's not on our list, but I kind of was on the fence about talking about him anyway. He's dropped to 13th in our rest of season rankings, and which is a pretty big departure from where I had him in preseason, which was 5th overall in our 8 category ranks. A lot of the reason that he's still putting up fairly good numbers. It's just that he's been on such a terrible stretch in the most recent games, and particularly his shooting percentage has been way down this season. Do you want to take a guess at what DeMarcus Cousins' shooting percentage is this year?
I'm guessing, let's see, he shot like 46% last year. I'm going to guess like 42.
Lower.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not that much lower. It's 41.5, but the point still stands. Like, how can you have a power forward on your team who's going to shoot 41%? He's still averaging, I mean... It probably depends on whether you're worried about the percentages or not, but he's still averaging 25 points, 10 rebounds, which is a little bit down. He's not averaging the steals that he has traditionally. His blocks are a little bit down. And my hunch at what's going on here is it's the three pointers. He's averaging 4.5 three pointers per game. He's only shooting 30% from the 3-point line. I think that's kind of playing with his game a little bit. His offensive rebounds are down as a result, and so his overall rebounds are down as a result. Yeah, I mean, in a rotisserie league, that's just so tough to handle if you've got a guy shooting that many shots as your center at 42%.
I feel like he's going to get more comfortable in the offense, though, and it might tick up a little bit. I mean, that's a big drop from 46.5 to 41.5.
Yeah, and I know that he's playing hurt right now, so your point might be valid that, you know, now is a good time to buy low on him when he's doing so poorly.
I mean, I feel like if, you know, if the opportunity is there, I mean, some people, obviously, they're going to say, oh, he's my best player, I'm not going to want to sell. But, I mean, if you could actually buy low on him with, like, a third, fourth-round player and get DeMarcus Cousins, or maybe you, like, third and a back end of your, you know, bench player and get DeMarcus Cousins out of it, I think that's an opportunity you got to try to snap up.
I'm worried that the steals, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a difference in scheme or something, but he's been very consistent per possession his whole career in steals, and they've about half this season. For the past four seasons, he's averaged 2.5 steals per 100 possessions, and this year he's averaging 1.2. The rebounds are down, and again, I think that's mostly because of the three-point shot. I don't know that I feel comfortable saying he's definitely going to turn around the three-point shot. Like, and start making it or stop taking it. Like, I think he's going to continue both things. And so I think if you're worried about field goal percentage, that's actually a trade I would make. I would go ahead and I would trade DeMarcus Cousins to the owner of Paul Millsap. And I would take Paul Millsap.
I mean, you're right. If you want a power forward who's shooting a good percentage, I mean,
that's not his best category either, but it's going to help you a ton.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, Millsap doesn't hurt you anywhere either. So, I mean, that's going to...
Yeah, and you are losing. I mean, you're losing. The hard thing there is you're losing, what, 6.5 points per game or something?
Mm-hmm. And you're losing some rebounds, but then you're gaining a lot of steals. Blocks are relatively even.
Well, assists. Yeah.
Assists are Millsap. You got to give that to him. So, I mean...
Well, Cousins isn't... Let's see. What's he doing this year?
Cousins 2.9 assists.
Traditionally, he's pretty good. Yeah, he's down on assists. See, and that's another area we'd hope that he maybe was better at this season.
I think Rondo's stealing them all.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's a good point. No, I would take Paul Millsap. In a head-to-head league where you're punting percentages, I'm probably going to still go with DeMarcus Cousins. But I think overall he's had a disappointing year, and if you can unload him for Paul Millsap or something like Paul Millsap, and that's not going to kill you in points, I would do that. I don't know if I've talked you into it yet, though. Seems like you're probably still on DeMarcus Cousins.
I just feel like because he's coming back from the injury, I think that the numbers just might tick up a little bit. Now, in a couple of weeks, if the numbers are still not looking great, then we might have a discussion on our hands.
All right. Well, I've got a perfect way to settle this, Tyler.
Oh, I know where you're going here.
There's this app. And anyway, what you do is you go to this app. It's called No Halftime, which is one of our sponsors. Thank you, No Halftime. And it's just like Daily Fantasy, except for you only have to pick one player. So in our case, you can have DeMarcus Cousins. I can take Paul Millsap, and we can settle this on the court. We take this app. We can go on there. We can create a private challenge. Just you and I can see. You can send it to me via email. I can accept it, and we can play it out. And winner not only gets bragging rights, but a couple of bucks, or however much we want to play for. I know you're kind of a high roller, Tyler, so we could pay for a couple hundred bucks if you want, I guess.
Oh, no doubt. It is all on
The other cool thing is if you don't have a buddy that you feel like you can make a challenge to, you can make public challenges, which they basically appear on the app just like a Tinder date, which so you can propose the DeMarcus Cousins Paul Millsap challenge, and then people can swipe one way if they want it or swipe the other way if they don't want it. They can accept your challenge. There's no need to worry about setting lineups or worrying about salary, how much each player costs. As long as everybody agrees, you've got a fun way to enjoy a basketball night. And the other cool thing is they do it for not only basketball, but any other sport offered. I think I saw today that they were offering English Premier League. So maybe maybe next time we'll have to go and pick English Premier players. I don't know that I could name one of them, but that might make it even more fun.
You're in trouble here. You're out of your game.
I don't even know how you would do daily fantasy for soccer. It seems like there would be a lot of zeros, and then like the one guy who scored a goal would have 1,000 points.
Well, they count stuff like passes probably and like crosses and stuff like that.
Soccer is so boring. Anyway, the coolest part is if you want $25 to play, you can do that just by signing up with the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL. Sign up, download the app off the iTunes store, sign up with the promo code, and you can play no halftime anytime you want. And if you feel like you would like to take Tyler's side in this no halftime challenge and take DeMarcus Cousins against my Paul Millsap, be my guest. Feel free to challenge me and I'll accept it.
Everybody challenge Mark. Take all his money.
All right, let's talk about the next guy on our list. This guy I'm going to have to eat a little crow on, Tyler, is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler started in my preseason rankings at number 36. He has moved up to number 17. He's just, even in that funky situation with the Chicago Bulls this season, he's continued to play great. I was skeptical whether Fred Hoiberg was going to continue to play him enough minutes, the same amount of minutes that Thibodeau used to play him, but he's still getting over 37 minutes a game. I thought maybe in a new offense, he wouldn't average the same amount of points. He's averaging more points than he did last season. He's averaged 21 points a game. The rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, three-pointers are all still there, so I was wrong about him. What was your take on Jimmy Butler preseason?
I feel like Jimmy Butler is just one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, I feel like Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's just crazy with the ball in his hands.
Your dog's a big fan too.
I know, he likes Jimmy Butler apparently. I feel like Jimmy Butler is a player that kind of gets underrated by a lot of people because – a lot of people still think, oh, it's Derrick Rose's team and all that. And it's like, Jimmy Butler's clearly their best player. And yeah. I think that they're finally realizing that.
Derrick Rose isn't one of their five best players, but that's a different discussion.
That's probably the case. And I feel like Jimmy Butler just kind of like runs their offense a little bit now. I mean, like they kind of try to run the offense through him. And so I feel like he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see any reason this would change. I mean, there are improvements in his per possession numbers, but they seem reasonable. Like his points are up just a little bit. His defensive rebounds are up just a little bit. His blocks are up a little bit. His three pointers made are a little bit. And that's a sign of a player just improving. So I think the big surprise for me is that Fred Hoiberg was willing to play him 37 minutes a game. I thought it would be more in the 34 minutes or a game range. I'm not sure what is like special about Jimmy Butler's DNA that allows him to play so many more minutes than everybody else, but, and it's probably too late to take advantage of him. So if you took my advice on not drafting Jimmy Butler, you consider this my apology, but, I expect it to continue. I think, you know, he's probably a top 20 player the rest of the season.
Do you think the Bulls just have some kind of like crazy serum they give guys that like lets them play 40 minutes a night? Like
I would think the fact that Luol Deng almost died probably in some part in relation to the fact that he was playing like 45 minutes a game would suggest no, they don't.
Well,
Joakim Noah is basically like a shell of himself. I think that they've run enough players into the ground that I don't think this is – I don't think they have anything on the rest of the league.
I feel like he had a good run there, though, where he just played, like, every minute of the game for, like, 2 years.
Who are you talking about, Dane?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he almost died.
That is true. Like, I mean, like, doesn't he seem, like, when you watch him play now, like, he's so much older than he is?
Yeah, he and Joakim Noah aren't going to be able to walk when they're 40 years old.
That is probably the case.
Ugh. I was, I mean, and I know that that's a big reason that Tibbs was let go is because of the minutes. And so, again, I don't understand why Hoiberg is doing this to Jimmy Butler, but.
Is it just because they feel like they don't have anyone who can, like, be Jimmy Butler?
Well, but, I mean, the Rockets don't have a James Harden on the bench, and that's a bad example because I think he's, like, the only player that's played more minutes than Butler. But, like, the Warriors don't have Steph Curry on the bench.
Yeah, but see, I mean, like, they can split, like, him and Clay up, and, like, I mean, I feel like they still feel like they have, like, a really good shooter out there pretty much at all times. Whereas, like, I feel like the Bulls don't feel like they have a defender that's as capable as Jimmy Butler and someone who can kind of, like, run the offense if need be.
Yeah, I just think that if you're going to have ask a guy to be your best defender, going to run the efficient parts of your offense, you can't also make him lead the league in minutes.
I mean, I agree. Like, I don't think it's the best coaching in the world, but, like, I think that's what they think. It's just like, oh, if we take this guy out, we don't have anyone who can, like, play anywhere near, like, even half of his role.
Right.
So, like, they're, like, just, like, between a rock and a hard place, like, oh, God, we'll just leave him out there.
Sounds like great coaching to me. I'm sure he'll be fresh for the playoffs.
What is your assessment of Fred Hoiberg?
So I do far? Not think he's a good coach.
Because, like, that's what I've been hearing from a lot of people, too. Is like,
I think he's one of the five worst coaches in the league.
It's like a lot of people think, like, he's not even an NBA coach. But
I don't think he has any idea what he's doing. And I don't think the what was it, Tim Floyd comparisons are too far away. Now, the thing is, coaches are like players. Like, they can improve. So I'm mm-hmm. not saying he will never be a good coach. But right now, he just doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. He looks completely lost to me.
I'll second that motion.
And, like, he doesn't look like he's in control of the team. Their whole business about they're announcing, like, different starting lineups and then they're taking it back. And, like, it's just a mess.
Yeah, like, what was that thing? Like, they run a lineup and, like, I've seen this, like, two or three times. They run a lineup and, like, shoot around. It's, like, their starting lineup. And then, like, later that night, it's not their starting lineup. It's, like, what is that?
They're just trying to gauge reaction to, like, making changes in their lineup or whatever. But it I guess I would say this way. Greg Popovich is never going to do that. Like, the Spurs are never going to have that problem. Or, like, the Mavericks are never going to have that problem. So you can make all the excuses you want for Fred Hoiberg, but there's a million things he does that Greg Popovich and Rick Carlisle, who I would consider the two best coaches, would never do.
Should the Lakers trade Byron Scott for Fred Hoiberg? That's my question.
Oh my goodness.
I knew you'd love that.
You might as well. Yeah, I mean. Oh my goodness. Hoiberg at least doesn't have the history of the ridiculous quotes that Byron Scott has.
He might actually have a brain.
It's possible. I'm not ruling out that they're in the same category though. That's how little I think of Hoiberg.
It's a possibility. I mean, I still think the jury's still out a little bit. Like you're saying, he could improve and get better, but it's not looking strong right now.
And I think it's a tough transition to come in from college and know how to prepare for the NBA players. Like, everything's different. So I get that he can improve, but it just doesn't look great yet. And that was my big hang up with thinking the Bulls were going to be good as a team this year is just rookie coaches that come from college don't usually do well. And the fact that Brad Stevens did it just fine doesn't mean everybody else is going to do it.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about, I think we have time for one more guy here. Let's talk about Chris Paul. I know I mentioned him in the promo here. He's a guy who slipped a little bit in our rankings. He started off as preseason number 6. He's dropped to 14th. So basically that's the guy that Paul Millsap has replaced in the first round. And he's another guy that's dealing with an injury, which is probably partially the reason that he's dropped in the rankings. But let me just walk you through what's changed as far as his production this season. On a per possession basis, he's scoring the same as he usually has, maybe just a tick down, but his assists are not in the same level they've always been. Historically, with the Clippers, he's averaged about 15 assists per 100 possessions. This year, he's averaging only about 13 assists per 100 possessions. His stills are down from his career averages. Traditionally, he's averaged about four assists or four steals per 100 possessions, which is really, really good. Now he's down to three, which is, or 2.7, I guess I should say, which is merely very good. And he's not shooting at quite the same percentage that he's always shot at. His three-point percentage is down, so his three-point numbers are down. He's just kind of down across the board. Now, with that as the backdrop, do you think that his dip in production is due solely to this injury and it will improve short-term, or do you think he's just kind of 30 years old now and things are starting to get worse?
Well, I mean, I think the numbers are going to come up a little bit, but I also wouldn't rule out that he gets hurt again.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, that's a really good point. He's never been the healthiest guy in his career. I mean, last year he did get in all 82, but I mean, before that it was 62, 70, and 60. So, I mean,
no, that's a very good point.
And so, I mean, like it's not a guy I'm really going out and trying to acquire, I don't think, because I mean, I feel like, yeah, the numbers are going to come up maybe a little bit and get back to his, you know, the usual levels, but he also might miss another 10 or 15 or 20 games at some point.
Yeah. Now, not only has that production changed, his playing time has also decreased considerably. As a Clipper, he's always been in the 34 to 36 minute range. He's averaging less than 32 minutes per game this season. And so that's sort of a double whammy there. You've got his dip in production, and then you've also got his dip in minutes. So even if the production comes up, it seems like maybe they're trying to rest him. They're trying to give him some more time off. I don't think he's a first round player anymore.
I'm with you on that. I think
he's probably a second round player.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like probably, I mean, he's in a 12 team league. He's probably right around that 15, 16, somewhere in their spot.
Here are the point guards in my rankings that I have above him. You tell me when my rankings are, in your assessment, inaccurate. Steph Curry is ranked ahead of him. You're good with that?
Still good there.
Okay. James Harden, who I consider a point guard, is ahead of him.
We're still good there.
Russell Westbrook is ahead of him.
Still good there.
John Wall, I've got ahead of him.
I'd rather have John Wall.
Kyle Lowry is ahead of him.
Now, this one is interesting to me. But I'm still – I think I'm ready to take Kyle Lowry.
Damian Lillard is ahead of him.
Honestly, I had Lillard ahead of him in the preseason, if you can believe that.
Okay, and his former backup, Eric Bledsoe, is ahead of him in my rankings.
Now
just barely. Like, the difference is only at, like, a dollar auction value, but...
That one actually really kind of surprised me, but as I looked into the numbers more, I'm kind of all right with it.
Yeah, now, obviously, they're different sorts of players, right? Like, if you need elite assists, you're probably only taking Westbrook, Wall, Westbrook and Wall, and that's about it.
Right.
But if you're just looking for overall value, like Bledsoe is going to be stronger in points, he's going to be stronger in blocks, he's going to be stronger now in steals, it looks like he's doing better in steals, he's going to be stronger in rebounds, he's probably going to be as good or better in three-pointers. And the percentages aren't that far off now. So it's really just the assists that he's lacking, and he's still getting close to 7 assists per game. So it's not that far off. So, yeah, I don't know that I disagree with any of those rankings. So I guess I am saying that Harden's not really a point guard for fantasy purposes. So Curry 1, Wall 2, Lowry 3, Lillard 4, Bledsoe 5. I've got Chris Paul as the 6th best point guard rest of season.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but I mean, I'm agreeing with it.
Yeah. What about Reggie Jackson? Just kidding. What about TJ McConnell?
If Kyle was here, he'd take Reggie Jackson over this one.
My favorite part, and I don't remember who did this, but it was in one of the listener leagues. Somebody just kept bidding up Kyle on Reggie Jackson until it got to like a preposterous range. It was definitely my favorite part of the preseason, and kudos to you if whoever out there did it, if you're still listening to the podcast. Even
tweet me later so I can give you a virtual high five.
I don't feel strongly about the Bledsoe, Lillard, Lowry, Chris Paul range. I think I'm kind of making a point for effect here. But you know, if I had to pick them in a vacuum or like as a first round pick, I probably would go with those other guys. And I think the point you made about the injury risk is valid. Like of all of those guys, he's the most likely probably to sit out some games, even without an injury, you know, like just for maintenance or whatever.
Well, and I think in the first round too, that's, you kind of want a player who you can count on just to be there every game and, you know, and produce you something. Cause I mean, like it's not easy to win your league in the first round, but it's pretty easy to lose it if your guy goes down and you get nothing from him. So that's,
and say what you want about Dame Lillard, but he's gonna show up and play, man.
He's an Iron Man so far, that is for sure.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Tyler?
No, that's about it for me, Mark.
Yeah, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to plug or you want to tell us where we can find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. So that's Watts like an electricity with a Y and then four fours.
Four fours as in, I can't think of anything.
I figured I, you know, shout out to you, right? You gotta do your mark. Let the see like Marc Gasol. So I figured I'd try it out myself.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can find me at Mark F Roberts, and that is Mark with a C, just like Marc Gasol. Go check out our rest of season rankings on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.com. If you like the show today, please go rate and review it on iTunes or Stitcher. Helps us to stay high in the rankings. And that will be, this wraps up our shows for the week. We'll be back next week with week eight? What week are we on?
I think
a new week of fantasy basketball. We'll try to help you set your lineups.
Yeah, until that's always
good. Yeah, until then, go enjoy some basketball, everyone.